Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
And welcome this evening. This is John Haney. I'm here with Rick Reynolds and Leslie Hardy. And I want to be the first to wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. I've got a great and profound respect for mothers. And if my own mom's listening out there, I just want to say, Mom, I love you, and pretty much apologize for that whole period between the time I was 13 and 15. But I also want to say that for all the mothers out there, we're also very sorry that you're actually listening to us tonight, because it probably means there's a pretty good chance that your life may be falling apart right now. And, you know, I've always loved holidays, and I still do, because it kind of brings out the kid in me. But as a therapist, sometimes I've come to sort of dread holidays as well, because I know that for people who are lonely or depressed or maybe in crisis, that nothing can make you feel quite as empty as a holiday. You know, you turn on the TV and you see commercials of happy families having a great time together, or husbands and wives exchanging promises of undying love, usually with a diamond or something. And it just, it can be really, really hard for someone whose world seems to be falling apart at the moment.
So given all that, realizing that a lot of you listening tonight are not feeling very hopeful, you may even be feeling quite hopeless, tonight's program is on hope. And just to start us off, hope is not wishful thinking. What would you guys say hope is?
Well, I would say that hope is faith in things not seen. I guess that would be an old definition, right?
You know, that's a good one.
Believing that somehow that God is capable of taking the worst thing that ever happened and making the best thing that ever happened.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, you know, we kind of talk about our God being a God of a broken places, and you know, we continually in our line of work see evidence of God taking those really destructive kinds of situations that seem you know potentially just unredeemable and doing miraculous with them.
I'm trying to think of another definition of hope. I mean, I think to me the greatest definition of hope are the couples that we've seen that have been able to walk through this thing. I mean, there's nothing like I guess the example of others that have been able to go before, where God has been able to redeem all of that. And tonight in particular, I would certainly like to invite any of you who have already walked through this process to call us. We can be reached at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or if you're listening nationally and you want to give hope, or if you've even got a question, we'll take a hopeless situation if you'd like. You can call us at 888-ARC-EMS. That's 888-ARC-EMS. And if you've got that hopeless situation, maybe we can even speak to that somehow. So did you have some more questions, Leslie, on hope?
Well, I guess just to start us off thinking about hope and some couples farther down the road, if you all could, I guess, just for a minute, think about some of the situations that you've seen that seemed incredibly hopeless, but you saw God really turn around dramatically, unexpectedly, or over time. And as you all are thinking, I'll just start us off with a couple that I saw on Friday that came into town kind of for their 15,000-mile checkup. They've actually been out of town for about a year now, but they kept talking about how wonderful God has been, how great their marriage is. And a year ago they were separated. They had been separated for almost 9 months, and really on the verge of divorce at several points. But they even went so far as to share their testimony with their church in April and got up and shared their story and didn't really leave anything out. And he had been a person who had been addicted to pornography and had a long-term emotionally entangled affair. And at one point it was quite hopeless. And so it was really encouraging to see them about a year down the road doing so well.
I remember years ago when I think about hopeless cases, a woman who came in, she'd actually been the unfaithful spouse. And her hopelessness was based in the fact that while she thought it might be good to work out a marriage, she could not imagine ever having any type of feelings for her husband again. And for that reason, she was just kind of like, man, that is nuts. I mean, I don't mind trying to get back with this guy, but you keep telling me I can feel for him again. And I tell you right now, I don't even have just no feelings. I have negative feelings. So I just don't see any way. But the amazing thing, and if you talk to her today, she would just tell you, you know, it was an astounding thing that when those feelings came back, to her, that was just hope in an absolutely hopeless situation, that it was inconceivable to her that God could work that out. So, and that only took, you know, about 12 months. And her feelings had actually been gone a lot longer than 12 months. They'd been gone for about 6 years. So to find lost feelings, you know, that's kind of hopeless. And then all of a sudden, there is hope. I mean, those types of things can come back again.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a situation that happened about a year ago as well, when had a woman who was married to an executive who she just discovered right at the point when the last of her three kids was about to move out of the house, right at the point when she felt like they were finally going to have their time and start to kind of re-celebrate their life together with the kids all successfully graduated. She discovered that he'd had an affair with a business associate. And when she came into my office, she was despondent, she was very, very angry, and she was done. Like Rick was saying, she knew this pretty much was it. And, you know, last I checked, they're about to build a new house together in Austin, and when I see them together, it's like seeing a couple of kids out on their first date again. It's really, really neat to see. And, you know, sometimes I tell my clients, you know, when they're just caught up in the hopelessness of their own situation, that I, for one, and I probably could speak for my colleagues on this one, could not do this for a living if all we saw was the train wreck all the time. That, you know, we do have the benefit of seeing how God works in these situations and how it comes out on the other end.
And I think it's interesting that, you know, we're doing this on Mother's Day. I just wonder how many people, you know, have stayed and just tried, even in a hopeless situation, because of children. Mothers who felt, you know, for the sake of their kids, they ought to at least consider trying to see if there was something that might work out for them. And so maybe at times that it's this type of day, this type of celebration of who we are as a parent, as a mom or a dad, that actually gets us to hold on, to take a moment to pause so that we can begin to determine whether or not God can work a miracle. Because again, for most people doing this, I mean, it's going to take a miracle to work through this type of thing. It will take almost a transformation of the other person to begin to find hope in a relationship.
Yes, you know, particularly for those mothers who are, like Rick says, are just staying in for the benefit of their children or whatever. I mean, you know, those cases can be very, very difficult for, like with my own client, you know, when the kids finally leave the house and that mother role is no longer a full-time job. It's like their very identity can kind of go out the window with that, and trying to find any kind of foundation to try to salvage in their marriage at that point, once their sort of mother role is done, you know, can be very, very difficult.
Well, and I know I've said it on earlier programs, but as you all prayerfully consider where God is in this situation, what He's calling you to do, even if it seems impossible, He's promised to do the impossible through us and for us. And so hope isn't believing in our own ability to do it or our spouse's ability to do it. Hope is knowing that God is able to do all things. And getting back to the kid thing, a lot of times people will stay for their children. And I think in the big picture, kids will maybe help them slow down the process of thinking and not be so overly emotional. But I encourage you to not stay for the kids, or go because of the kids, but to really be patient and hold on until you know what God's telling you. Having kids can make this journey easier at times, but it can also make it more challenging at times.
Absolutely. And okay, let's see. I just lost my train of thought. John, rescue me here.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong guy to rescue on that one. No, I mean, I think, you know, I think sometimes we do lose sight of, you know, I mean, Leslie is sometimes fond of saying that the only reason to stay in a marriage is because God's telling you to. The only reason to leave a marriage is because God's telling you to. And you know, sometimes we'll just get so focused on the children or something else that we kind of lose sight of perhaps what God is telling us to do.
Well, and I've actually had clients that grew up in households where their parent did stay because of the kids. They knew that's why their parent stayed, and they felt personally responsible for their parents' miserable marriage.
Right. I've seen that as well. And, you know, kind of without sort of following the lead of God on that, you know, all you're potentially doing is modeling a very dysfunctional relationship for your kids.
But don't forget that God has promised to bring good out of even what seems incredibly bad and hopeless.
Right, and I think sometimes that hopelessness is very much future-oriented, that God gives us all the grace we need to deal with the situation in the moment, but he doesn't necessarily give us the cues and the clues of what's going to happen over the next 2 days, even 3 hours, even 1 week or a month or a year or 2 years. And that, you know, to me, it's a matter of being in the present and being in his presence, both simultaneously. And if I stay there, usually I can find some peace. I can find a place of hope, even in a really, really difficult situation. If I lose sight of that moment of the now and I begin to focus on what's going to be happening in the future, my little finite mind is really going to have a lot of difficulty beginning to figure out how that may work out. For that reason, I think that one of the tools to dealing with hopelessness is really just staying in the moment and letting God deal with us.
Well, and keeping our eyes on God and not on our spouses, because it's very, very easy to take your circumstances of today and predict the future based on what today looks like. So it's really important to look at even today through God's eyes, not through our evaluation of is it good or is it bad.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I believe we have a caller right now, and this is who?
Mary.
Hello, Mary. How you doing?
Hey, Mary.
I'm doing fine. How are you all doing tonight?
Good. Okay.
So do you have something of hope to share or hopelessness?
Hope.
Ah, well, tell us a little bit about hope.
And first of all, Mary, are you a mother?
I am a mother.
Well, happy yes. Mother's Day. Want to sneak that in there.
Appreciate you taking the time to call in tonight.
Way to go, John. Make me look bad. I love that. You go, dude. Hey, Mary. So, what's your story of hope?
Well, I found out my husband had been cheating on me, and I didn't know what I should do because I do have children, and I got married in the church, and I, you know, took a vow, and I just kind of felt trapped and isolated and alone. And we did decide to get help, and today we're very much happier and in love and feelings I wasn't sure I could ever feel again.
How long ago did all this happen, Mary?
It happened back in January of last year.
Wow, so you're not even that far down the road.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So when all this began to come out, Mary, did you feel that there was any hope for your marriage at that point in time?
No, I didn't feel there was any hope. I really thought this would be a deal breaker. And I couldn't imagine even looking at him or caring for him or even having what you said, even any emotions, just having negative emotions is what I was experiencing at the time.
So what helped you to have hope on your journey through this past year?
Well, I actually attended the Affair Recovery Seminar.
Oh.
And so you found some hope through all of that then?
I did. I found hope through my faith. I mean, it was a very much a spiritual journey, as well as, you know, just facing each other and being open and honest.
So, Mary, if you were to evaluate your marriage now versus maybe the... how many years have y'all been married now?
Just four.
4 years. So the previous 2 years, or the previous 3 years, in the year since you began working, how would you rate your marriage in those two places?
Honestly, I'm more in love with my husband today than I was even before the affair. I think that if we're talking about hope, the affair actually brought light other problems in our marriage that helped us to address those and get through them. And we are much happier. We're more open with each other. And our prayer life together is stronger than it was.
That's really encouraging. So what would you say to the woman today whose life maybe has blown up and she's discovered infidelity?
Well, I would probably offer her what I have learned, the lessons and the prayers and the choices about it, but I do think it involves both parties, so it depends on the willingness of her husband, but that it doesn't end here. It doesn't have to end here. There is hope on the other side. There's a chance for renewal, renewed love, renewed faith, and it's a struggle, but it's a journey that we've picked up so many lessons on the way that it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't mean the death of something. It can actually be the rebirth.
Good. Well, Mary, thank you. Were you going to say
really
something, John?
I was just going to say, really appreciate you calling in, Mary, and wish you all the best.
And I believe we have Ron holding on the line. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back to our next caller tonight on Hope. Thank you for listening to Affair Recover Radio, radio to the power of God.
Does your life seem void of meaning? Do you struggle with depression? Is marriage not turning out as expected? Are you disappointed in the intimacy you share? Has an unwanted behavior taken your life hostage? Do uncontrollable feelings flood uninvited into your life? If so, we can help. Crossroads Counseling is a group of highly trained mental health professionals dedicated to Jesus. Crossroads Counseling is unique in its team approach. Each member has developed a specialty in order to complement their overall goal of helping each person they serve experience the freedom and abundant life afforded through the life of Christ. Give us a call, 512-346-9299. That's 512-346-9299. Or visit our website at crossroads-counseling.net. There is hope and healing. We believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Hope. Hope for the brokenhearted. Hope for those who have made a mistake. Hope for those impacted by betrayal. Hope for couples who feel no hope. The Affair Recovery Center is designed to offer hope, direction, and help for couples and individuals whose lives have been ripped by infidelity. There is hope at the Affair Recovery Center. We can all personally testify to what God can do by what we have personally experienced. Let us help. We are a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We can be reached at affairrecovery.com, or you can call toll-free at 888-527-2367. That's 888-527-2367. Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God, for we believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot cure, and we've got Ron holding on the line to talk a little bit about hope. Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ron, I take it you're not a mother.
No,
sir. Okay, just checking it out. I was going to wish you Happy Mother's Day just in case, but it doesn't. I'm sorry, John.
Well, and if you have kids, hopefully you wished her Happy Mother's Day.
Well, we did. Our kids are four-legged, though.
Oh, are they? How many?
A couple of horses and a red heeler that runs the place.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad we know who's in charge here.
Yeah.
So what's your message of hope for the night? What's your story, Ron?
I'm not sure.
Okay, do you want me to ask you a question so that you don't sit there and just, how long have you been married?
It'll be 10 years later on this year.
And when did the wheels come off the wagon, so to speak?
In the last part of 2003.
Wow.
Could you give us kind of a nutshell of what happened?
Yeah, I had gotten caught up in the sexual chat rooms on the internet, and had been involved in that probably for 8 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I suspect your wife wasn't giving you permission to do this.
No, it caused quite a problem.
How'd she find out?
I had to resign from my job over it because of it.
Oh.
So what was her response when she found out?
It pretty much devastated her. And if not both of us, I think it brought the problem. You know, it's one of these deals where you don't realize it's a problem until it just hits you square in the face, and you sit there and everything, you're looking at losing everything, in particular the person you love the most.
At that point in time, Ron, were you feeling hope or hopeless?
It was quite hopeless. I didn't know which. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was going to happen. I don't think my wife at that time knew what was going to happen. And we both, at that point in time, we both sat there and started praying together. The night that it happened, we both sat there and prayed together and just turned everything over to God and turned ourselves over to Him. Early 2005, we were directed to you. God led us to you and showed us through Him that there was a way. It's been a struggle. I'm not going to lie, but if it wasn't for God and the help we got from you and through Him, we would have never made it.
So at this point, when you look at your future, Ron, do you feel hope?
Every day. Every day. And I was the first one for years. I always thought, you know, your wife and family comes first, but without God, God's got to be first, because without Him, you don't have anything.
So what helped you to have hope on the journey, Ron?
Well, there's just nowhere else to go. I mean, I literally turned my life over to God.
No, and we see that sometimes too, Ron. You know, just kind of sometimes it really takes hitting rock bottom before, you know, things really bounce back and turn around and really, you know, you can kind of recognize how powerless we all are when it comes down to it.
You really are. You don't know where to turn. There's only one place to turn to. And, you know, through God, we've been able to sit there and we're still together. And you know, it's a day at a time, and we've probably have been happier since all of this happened than we were beforehand.
Absolutely, Ron. You know, I have a lot of clients, you know, who are sexual addicts and so forth, say that, you know, the bottoming out and really hitting rock bottom was probably the best thing that ever happened to them, but they sure wouldn't want to relive a minute of it. You know, it doesn't mean that it's always an easy process to kind of bounce back and kind of let God start driving the bus, but it's, you know, but the end of the game is sure much better than the beginning.
Yeah, Ron, and I do appreciate you calling in, and I hope that none of your horses listened in so that they wouldn't be really devastated by the story tonight.
Or
they children, you know.
Or maybe they felt guilty about, you know, not buying a card, too, or
that's
something.
That's right.
They got her one.
Oh, oh good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Those are some systems.
Sounds like you're on track all the way around there, Ron.
not without God.
Really appreciate you calling, Ron.
Thank you.
That is great. Thank you so much, Ron.
You bet, sir.
Yeah, you know, I remember that story after he called in, and that's exactly right. I mean, it was pretty hopeless. And I think probably the hardest thing was for his poor wife. He wanted to have hope. She wasn't sure that she wanted to have hope. Do you find that, Leslie, to be something?
Oh, I find that a lot. Well, and I think that there's such a narrow view in our culture today as to what a strong person looks like. And a strong person, I think, would never tolerate infidelity of any sort. If you listen to radio, television, we just say, you know, you're weak if you stay, when actually that's the opposite's true. And so I think a lot of times our hope, if we're not careful, is based unintentionally on what others think about us.
Most
instead
definitely.
Of what God is thinking about
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I get really, you know, probably disgusted is not strong enough a word to, you know, kind of what sometimes the messages of pop psychology and the media kind of about what women are supposed to do and sort of, I agree wholeheartedly with Leslie that some of the women we've worked with who stayed when everyone else told them they were crazy to stay, you know, are some of the strongest women I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, and that's where I think people really have to stop and consider, where am I putting my hope? What is my hope truly in? Because if it's not in God, it's a slippery slope, and it's hard to stay focused.
So, Leslie, for those of you who don't know, has written an incredible course called Harboring Hope. So she's really our resident expert on hope, since we have her over here. She's looking at me.
Yes, since I'm such the writer.
She's kind of our betrayed wife guru. It's kind of her thing.
So if you get a group of women coming in and they don't want to have hope, what do you say in that situation?
Well, really, I just turn it back to God, because in the emotional fray, it's so hard for people to have hope. It's hard for them to really have a sense of what's real, what's true, because they're all over the place, and their life can seem very surreal. They can be very disoriented, and so, you know, a lot of times people are even so distracted, it's hard for them to sit down and do an in-depth Bible study. And so sometimes it's finding one verse that they can cling to that gives them hope. And for me, I've spoken about it on earlier shows, because for those of you that don't know, my husband of 16 years left me, 8 years ago for his affair partner. And so as I walked through it and prayed about it and was just trying to keep my head above water, God gave me a picture of a pearl. And I clung to that, because a pearl is formed through pain and irritation. And I just knew that somehow God would turn my pain into something beautiful if I could just hang on. And so that's the picture that really helped me have hope.
So when someone comes to you and they say, I mean, what's the outcome of this thing? I mean, are you trying to convince me at this point that I need to be working on my marriage or try to stay in my marriage? I mean, what are you guys about? What are you going to say to her or him?
Well, what I would say to, you know, whether they're male or female, is that I think it's really important at the point when things blow up to come up with a goal other than saving the marriage. And that may sound strange, but I think that's important that maybe a year from that point, they can look back and they can say, regardless of what happened to the marriage, regardless of what my spouse chose to do or chose not to do, I chose God. And I can respect myself for choosing God in spite of all of that. And the reason I think it's important for people to maybe let go of saving the marriage as their goal is because it puts all the focus on the marriage, it puts all the focus on their spouse, and they really lose sight of God in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and John, he's going, okay, here it comes, he's going to get me. But from more of a psychology or from Jung, what would he say about the purpose of suffering? And because to me, the biggest goal is not necessarily saving the marriage. In fact, I'll tell people like Leslie, this goal here, that what we're about right now is not trying to save the marriage. It's about trying to save you.
Most definitely. And when we talk about hope, we're not talking about trying to achieve a state of no suffering or happiness all the time. That's not what it's about. And, you know, we live in a very pain-avoidant society in the United States. When we have a headache, we immediately reach for the aspirin and so forth. And Jung and others would kind of talk about sort of that there is some value in suffering, and that sometimes God really uses suffering. Not that, you know, and I think it's important there to make the distinction that, you know, I don't believe God causes the suffering to happen to us or causes these situations. I don't think God, you know, necessarily causes people to go out and have affairs and do all these things. But, you know, I kind of like to look at it from the standpoint of shifting the focus of God causing these events from happening to us, because I know a lot of people who come into our offices are always asking that sort of why me question, but kind of shift it over into having them think about God abiding with them in their suffering right now, that he's a presence, he's a partner, he's a companion working through that with them and kind of doing that. But the suffering itself actually can be very, very valuable. I mean, when my own first marriage blew up because of some choices of my ex, you know, the suffering was horrendous, you know, but I can honestly say now that was one of the most formative and valuable times in my life in terms of what God showed me and how I grew and so forth. I wouldn't want to relive any of it, but you know, God really used my suffering and some wonderful things came out of it. So, you know, we encourage people that, you know, if you're not achieving a state of bliss, that doesn't mean that God's not in the situation.
Well, because I think ultimately, regardless of what your spouse does or doesn't do, one of the greatest things that you can gain as you choose God through this journey is the realization of how deeply God loves you, how he wants to be the comforter. His heart breaks over what you're going through. He cares deeply, and I think a lot of us just kind of are going through life not so intentionally, but when our lives blow up, if we are able to use that opportunity, God can really, really use it. We're all living in limbo, but we're not so acutely aware of it until our lives blow up. And so, as Rick mentioned earlier, if we're able to take that awareness of the limbo we're in and live minute by minute and use our suffering to help us surrender to God, it has great value.
Right, and I really believe the transformation of who we are as individuals really comes in those hard places, is that hope actually begins to come when we get to the place where external circumstances no longer define our happiness, where right. We rise beyond. I mean, that's a tremendous place of peace and hope, when I can be in a very difficult situation and still have peace, still have joy, still have hope, just like I think Viktor Frankl writes about, too much of a Texan, Man's Search for Meaning. But I think we see that with our clients all the time, that sometimes the hope is just a personal journey where we come to the place where we almost transcend circumstances, and that type of growth, that conversion experience, so to speak, doesn't happen apart from really difficult things, and people dealing with this are in those difficult times.
Certainly, and really, you know, we can't even really understand, you know, what it means to be completely full of joy unless we've really seen some despair in our lives. You really can't have one without the other. If everything sort of went according to the way we wanted them to all the time, you know, then sort of happiness would be sort of a neutral state that we wouldn't understand anything else. And I think, you know, one of the exciting things for us is we get to see the couples who come out the other side of this thing. And, you know, because they felt such profound despair, their joy is that much more profound in the celebration on the other side.
Well, and happiness is based on our circumstances. And when your circumstances are so bleak, I think it's a great time for us to turn to God and ask for joy and peace in spite of the storm.
Well, it's time for a break. You're listening to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. If you have a story of hope, please give us a call at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or you can call our long-distance number if you're out of the town at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. We look forward to hearing from you as we talk about hope tonight. Thank you. Listen to what others are having to say about the emergency marital seminar offered by the Affair Recovery Center.
This EMS weekend was very meaningful for me, and I feel it moved us along in such a positive way. I truly see success and forgiveness in the future.
Thank you so much. I came here for my wife, but I left with my life.
It was incredible to see God intervene in our marriage in such a visible way. Miraculous doesn't even begin to describe it.
You made this so easy for us to follow and understand, so comfortable.
As you can tell from past participants, the Emergency Marital Seminar has had a profound impact on the couples who have attended. If your marriage is at a point of crisis, we would like to invite you to come join us March 30th, 31st, and April 1st to be a part of this life-changing event. We can be reached at area code 512-346-9299. Or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com.
Here's more great news from the Austin Graduate School of Theology, where our students tell the whole story. Here's Josh Wilkins on how he got started at the Austin Graduate School of Theology.
My wife and I moved down to Austin just to go to school, and it's been a wonderful experience so far. They treat you like family, they take care of you, and it's been very good. My initial goal is to go into some sort of youth ministry or campus ministry. The bigger goal is just to know more about the Bible. I just want to know more about theology and scripture. And I think one of the greatest aspects about the school is that it is a family atmosphere, and it does help you from the very basics, you know, learn about the biblical faith and theology. It pushes you to read more, it pushes you to learn and to actually ask the difficult questions that you haven't asked before or really even thought of before.
Non-degree seeking students are welcome too. Call right now, because new classes start soon. Go to austingrad.edu right now and view our new informational video, or call 476-2772 right now.
Welcome back to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And tonight we're talking about hope and sometimes even hopelessness as we continue this discussion. If you'd like to call in and chime in, you can reach us at 365-9930. That's area code 512-365-9930. Or you can call us at 888-5-ARC-EMS. For those of you that are out of town, that's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And I believe... John, what?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, if you just picked up with us, you know, we're talking about there's certain holidays that really bring out hopelessness in people. Christmas is one. Valentine's tends to be another one. But Mother's Day can really, really be hard for someone who's celebrating it, you know, in crisis or without their family or when everything's sort of blowing up and falling apart. And
so do you guys think that there are situations that are hopeless? For those listeners who may be listening and thinking, you know, sure, you're talking about hope, but you don't know my situation. What would you say to them?
I mean, I'll chime in. I don't think there's any situation that's hopeless. I think that if you place your hope in something that is you don't control or is unstable, that sometimes people may not do what you want. There are certainly people that really don't want to do what they need to do. However, I mean, in terms of absolutely hopeless, I mean, sometimes the best thing that happens is for me. It's not necessarily for my mate or for my marriage. Again, as we've said, we're not trying to sit there and say that the marriage is the ultimate solution. That it's really much more of a transformative thing that I think happens to us as individuals.
Yeah, and I would have to say too, you know, it's there were certainly situations where for me as a human being and as a psychologist, sure seemed hopeless to me, but then I was just, you know, once again, amazed by a power far greater than I and finding out that it wasn't.
I believe we have a caller on the line.
Brenda.
Brenda. Okay, good. Brenda, you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. Well, do you have...
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much. Are you a mother, Brenda?
Yes, I have three sons.
Three sons. Boy, that's... I'm the youngest of three sons, so I know I'm a real happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. My oldest is 32.
Wow.
My youngest is 18, and my middle's 20. So and I've been married 25 years, and it has been touch and go. And for 6-7 years, my husband decided, when we were like 18 years married, that I didn't love him because there was no communication. And I kept trying to go in, hang in there and pray, and we're just beginning to talk, but sometimes I still wonder if I want to hang in there, because the fact that he's not a Christian, he believes in God, but when Christ is mentioned, he gets offended and he gets mad. And even now, you know, he gets mad at me and stuff, and I keep hanging on there. What keeps me is when Jesus was on the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they're doing." And even though I want a better life and a better home and stuff, I still hang in there, keep praying, but there's times I want to give up. But my children, my youngest ones, have come to me and say, "Thank you, Mom, for not giving up, for letting us have our dad." So that point I did good.
So how have you managed to maintain hope even when you've been incredibly hopeless and maybe even felt despair?
I keep praying and hoping and remember that God's always been there for me through my life. And I know that God will, in his own time, say, "Okay, enough is enough." Because when we first got married, I had been married before. And I heard a voice when I was telling my first husband that I was going to marry my present husband, and I heard a voice say, "No, you don't love him." And like everybody else, "Oh, I can always get a divorce." And when 3 months into the marriage, he started drinking real bad, and I screamed while he drove off in his Jeep, "Please let me leave. I want a divorce, annulment." And I heard a voice say, "No, you made a vow to me." And every time I think about it, I think about I made the vow to God and to him. And so I hung in. But at times I still, you know, want to be happy and want someone to love me and hold me and keep thinking God can do miracles. But only trouble is he's not a Christian and he doesn't want to hear about Jesus. He says, "Well, Buddha's right and who's wrong? You know, there's Buddha, there's this and this." And I said, "Well, there's only one Christ who died on the cross." So I keep hoping and keep hanging on there, and it's not easy because I want to give up and I want to be happy, but I want to do God's will.
Well, and I know you're a huge blessing to the Lord in your obedience in spite of your emotional struggle. Do you have a favorite scripture that you go to from time to time?
I always remember that what Jesus said on the cross, you know, forgiving people for they do not know what they do, and that all things are possible who love Christ. And God, you know, I have a lot of little ones, but I keep going over my head that there's nothing impossible with God.
I'm glad that you have those in your head, and that's a great verse to remember, Christ on the cross, because forgiveness is huge on this journey, regardless of what your husband does or doesn't do. I'm thankful that you have God in your life and that you're focused on him.
Because I've had preachers tell me, you know, he did that, I would divorce him, and things like that. And I keep thinking, and people think I'm crazy and I'm dumb, and what do you be with him, you know? And I've cried so many times because I wanted to be close to him. And I know this is on the radio and people are hearing, but sometimes you may be stupid and dumb to some people, but if you try and keep your eyes on the Lord, he will honor that in due time and season. He may open the door and let me have a different future, and he may open the door and let my husband come to Christ. So until I know what God wants, I'm going to try to hang in there, but I'm still a human being and have feelings.
Absolutely, and I think the wonderful thing is that regardless of what happens with the marriage, whether you feel called to stay or eventually you feel that God's calling you out of this marriage, you can know that he's going to be every bit as present in whatever situation that's going to be.
Well, we live in an old farmhouse, and I live in a cow pasture, and we have rattlesnakes and stuff, and I keep praying, asking, Lord, open the door, open the door. You know, I want to move and stuff, but, you know, it's hard because I just know God is there.
Well, and Brenda, as you stay focused on God, I encourage you to remember that sometimes in Scripture and sometimes with my clients, it seems like they waited for a very, very long time, and then everything happened one day. Have a person in one of my groups right now. She and her husband have been separated for 7 months, have not even been talking, and all of a sudden, he's back and interested. So I think a lot of times we think, you know, step one has to happen, then time passes, step two. But sometimes we wait for a very, very long time, and everything happens all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage you to remember that. God can work in strange ways as you trust him. So thank you so much for calling, Brenda.
Really
appreciate it.
Calling,
yeah, thank
and
you
thank
so much.
You. But it's not a waste when you really focus on God. So
no, it definitely isn't.
People out there who are trying and just keep their eyes on God. I'm still trying, and I'm still human, but I know he won't fail me because I'm his child.
Absolutely. My wife is fond of saying, in God's economy, nothing is wasted, and I really believe that.
I do believe that.
I think the, you know, good and bad, suffering, happy, I mean, God can take any situation and really make wonderful things come out of it.
So thank you for calling and giving others encouragement.
Well, God bless you all.
You too,
Brenda.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Brenda. Wow. And that's one of the difficult situations. I mean, because I think sometimes people have to hope not for things in this life, but things in the next life. And for some people, that is their best place of hope. It's not something that, it may not be happiness in this day. And I just really admire people like Brenda. And I don't think they're crazy, regardless of what some people might think. Some people may go, that's crazy. She, you know, she has one shot at being happy, but she's really focused on something different.
Well, and I really think as people like Brenda choose God, in spite of the fact that it looks hopeless or may seem crazy, they really glorify God in a way that not all of us have a chance to do.
Especially with the rattlesnakes, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, John would be out of there. I'd be shooting them for him.
There's some faithfulness for you right there.
But I do encourage you guys to also remember that hope isn't ignoring what's going on. That sometimes people will kind of sit back and have wishful thinking that things will get better. And they won't even, sometimes we call them our ostriches, they won't even consider what really is going on, what the issues really are. And they'll do what I call a little bit of a spiritual denial, where they just kind of sit back, close their eyes, and they believe they're trusting God. But a lot of times, they're just trying to not deal with things. And so hope isn't ignoring what's going on.
Absolutely. So you had a question, I think?
Oh, well, I just kind of want to pick your brains on, you know, what's your take on the person who's really kind of wrestling with God in the midst of this, or really angry with God in the middle of this? What would you say to them?
I actually encourage clients to wrestle with God. I was raised to believe that it wasn't okay to be angry with God. And I really think God's bigger than that. I think that the God that I was raised to believe in was quite smaller than the one that I've come to know. And so I absolutely encourage people to wrestle with God.
I ditto what she said. That's really good. And we have another caller on the line. Randy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Randy, how long have you been married?
Been married, 16 years now.
Wow. That's pretty good. And so do y'all have any children?
Yes, we do. We have 3 children. We have a daughter that's 14 and a son that's 12 and another son that's 10.
Wow, you have your hands full.
You did remember the gift today, didn't you?
Pardon me?
Said you did remember to buy that gift today. Huh?
I did remember to buy the gift. I did that. My boys and I had put our heads together and kind of made it a kind of a special Mother's Day.
That is a good thing to do, Randy. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
So what's your story, Randy?
Well, for the first couple of years that we were married, you know, like like every couple, we went through a lot of struggles just with, you know, finances, and just we very quickly, you know, found out that we were pregnant, and there's a lot of pressures that were on, you know, both of us.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that'll change everything.
Absolutely. And so instead of dealing with the pressure and kind of talking with it, you know, we just kind of basically had that, in that Christian game face where we thought everything was fine, and we went to church and went to Bible studies, and really just didn't kind of volunteer a whole lot. And what kind of led to it was, you know, as I kind of had led a double life where, you know, on the outside to my wife, everything seemed fine and we were coping with the pressures. But on the other side was, you know, I slipped into, you know, problems with pornography and which eventually led to having an affair. And so, and I was given all the way through, you know, this happened over the course of a year, and through that I was given plenty of chances to kind of, you know, come clean and tell, you know, my wife what was going on. And, you know, and she kind of suspected that things were happening, but I, you know, I was very good at lying and very good at covering my tracks. And, it, you know, I feel like God was kind of pushing it all along until the one day where it kind of blew up, where she kind of, you know, found out a little bit about what was going on, and you know, for her, she went into just a mode of just protecting the kids and just wanted them. She didn't know, to her, this was just another person that she didn't even, you know, she didn't know that she married. So we had, you know, so we went through the whole thing where, you know, she was very much in shock and just didn't know how far this had gone. And, you know, it was several, you know, conversations with her, and then finally, you know, seeking out counseling and, you know, at church, and then, you know, through a recovery group, and where I was able to, you know, where able just everything came out, and just felt like this was the very first time that I was able to be honest with her and tell her everything that was going on in my life.
How long ago did that happen, Randy?
Probably about in about the sixth or seventh year that we were married. So roughly probably about 8 years ago, I would say.
Oh, okay. And Randy, we just have a couple of minutes left. Mm-hmm. So what would you want to share with those who are listening in regards to the hope that you have seen through your journey?
Well, just the main thing I just want people to take away is that, you know, that you can't, you know, like I didn't believe it, but you can't believe that you're going to be able to go around problems forever and just kind of hide in your and think everything's going to work out. You need to be very proactive. You need to seek God's reassuring love and the communication with your wife, and make sure that, you know, that if it's pressures or it's things that are going on, you know, that God's going to, at his time and choosing, those things are going to come out. And, you know, it's so much easier just to, you know, I found out just to be very honest and open and that communication path to let her know, you know, what's going on in my life so that she can be there, you know, to help support, and God there as well.
Absolutely. Well, we need to probably move on, Randy. Thank you
really
so much.
Really appreciate it,
Randy. Thank you, Randy, for calling in.
All right. Well, y'all take care and have a blessed day.
And thank you for
too.
Sharing hope, bro. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
I like that Christian game face thing.
I actually wrote that down.
That's good stuff.
Well, and we've got, coming up this next weekend, one of our EMS weekends. That'll be meeting on the Friday the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And if you've got a need, please give us a call at area code 512-346-9299 or, again, 888-5-ARC-EMS. We'd love to have you join us this next weekend if you got a need. Please pray for us if you don't have a need. There'll be couples coming in from all over the U.S., and we just want to be able to be a benefit to them.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are feeling alone tonight, you know, and that you're not feeling valued because you're of how your spouse may be treating you, just stay reassured by who you are to God.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.